Also, one tip is very important to listen to this tip. Welcome, gorillas, to the next episode of the Athlete Insider podcast by Gorination. My name is Phil, and today we have a really special beast from Mexico, Tony Gasté. And yeah, I'm really, really happy to have you here. Like a short introduction for the people who don't know you. You're the current featherweight world champion, is it right?
Yeah.
And the 3 times national champion of Mexico. So like a crazy, crazy beast. And I'm really happy to be able to do this interview with you in English so everybody can profit from it. Happy to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Also, I want to thank you and Gorination for inviting me to this interview, because it's, I think, my first interview in English, because I have done like a lot of interviews, but I have never done one in English. But I think this is going to help me with my introduction. But thank you for having me here, bro.
Awesome. Because I saw some weeks ago, I saw the interview with you and Jordan Bioko. Exactly. But I didn't understand anything. So I thought, yeah, it's a good possibility to show you and your story to more people. And yeah, because you also have an English Instagram account. And like, yeah, let's share your story, your workout advice to the people.
Yeah.
So how do you present yourself? Who are you? Who is Tony Gasté? Your full name is Antonio Gastelum.
So, yeah, exactly. you pronounce it better than the people from Mexico. Oh. People from Mexico call it Gastelum. Okay. But yeah, first of all, my full name is Antonio Gastelum. I am 19 years old. I started calisthenics when I was 15. When I just turned 15. I was just doing regular pull-ups because I was so weak. I was a skinny kid. Literally, I just could like hang from the bar and do one pull-up. Oh. And from there, I was like starting to get frustrated because I didn't find like something that really motivates me, like for started training or something like that. So I just started to play football at the park, at the same park. But then I saw like these guys doing freestyle. I didn't know what freestyle was, but they were doing like 360s, muscle up 360s, and I just said like, that looks kind of cool. And I just asked them like, hey, what is this or what are you doing? And they told me like they were doing freestyle or calisthenics. They was like kind of parkour bar trick thing, and I was like, oh, it's difficult. And they just teach me how to do the reverse muscle up. Okay. And the muscle of 360. And the first day I just caught my first muscle of 360.
What?
Yeah, but but I ripped all my hand. Literally, I grabbed the bar, but when I just let go of the bar, I just said, oh, I cut my hand. But I just have to rest like two weeks. But then I just came back to doing freestyle, and I really liked it for the first time. From the first time, I just started to doing like the regular muscle up or the regular 360 muscle up. I just liked it too much, and I started to doing it without like have to have like a day of training. I just like I want to go to the park to do freestyle because I enjoy it. I was enjoying to do it, so I think that was like the best thing to me, that I enjoy my sport and I enjoy what I do.
Wow, so 4 years into calisthenics now, is it right?
Yeah, four years. This year I just turned 4 years in calisthenics.
Wow, and like last year was the, is it right to say it was the most successful year of your career until now?
Yeah, exactly. 2019 was my best year of competitions, because also I was competing the whole year from February until December. I competed. Literally, I was competing February, March, May, then in June, then in July, then in August, November, December. I was competing the whole year. But the problem was, honestly, was my best year. But when I just ended that year, I started to feel like weaker. Mm-hmm. But doesn't to the point I didn't train, because I was training day by day, all day. And I just realized that my body or my shoulders were getting too loaded, mm-hmm. until the point they were not getting stronger in my trainings. They were getting like sore, and they were getting like weaker because I didn't give them the rest, the proper like stretching, or if you wanted to say like a massage to discharge the muscles. I didn't do that, so they started to even like when I started try to do like a specific trains to strengthen my shoulders, they were starting to getting weaker because I didn't rest at all. So I have to stop training for 2 months. That was in actually my birthday month in February. I have to stop training for 2 months. Wow. And then from there, I have to start training, like, not from the start, but to push-ups, the push-ups, lean planche, because literally I didn't felt my shoulders at all. I just, wow. like, felt, like, pain. So when I stopped, it was, like, getting better. So now I'm good, and I'm getting, like, stronger because I'm getting, like, statics trainings every day, but... Yeah, I think that was my best year, but not in my health, not in the healthiest way.
Okay, so like I can imagine that traveling around and competing a lot is really stress for the body.
It's stressful for the body and for the mind.
Yeah,
you don't rest well. Even if you rest, like if you, your body needs to get to the time of the country you're traveling to the weather, to the altitude. So it doesn't like in 5 days, you don't get like used to it. You know, like you have to prepare more like intelligent, because if you're like in those competitions that you travel, literally like some athletes that go to, I don't know, Russia in the world championship. I'm going to travel tomorrow because tomorrow is the competition on Thursday. So I arrived, I just have 2 days for rest, and that's not healthy at all. I just did that, like I told you, 2019, like six times. It didn't work at all at the end of the year.
Wow. So the plan is like to have more days before a competition to stay in the country, like, and to do less competitions, I guess.
Yeah, and like I think to train intelligent, because you have to, if you're going to a competition, you have to stop training. I mean, your statics or your maximum hold programs 3 weeks before the competition, because you're not getting stronger in 3 weeks. So what I do is now I prepare myself like 3 weeks or 1 month before the competition. I start to do all what I'm going to do in the competition. Mm-hmm. And that's I think the better way you can do it, because it's like literally a choreography, so you just have the cue.
Yeah, get it. But like, let's talk about your normal workout. How is it structured? How does your week you look like?
Now I train like differently weeks, because how I told you in 2019 I was literally doing like 1 week. Maximum of full planche, maximum of press, max of all in planche, front lever, every week, from 1 month to 1 month, every year. But that doesn't work at the end of the year, because my shoulder starts to pain, we're loaded as fuck. So what I do now is like trying to train 1 week specifically, like strengthening programs, like for planche, posture planche, push planche. I mean, like a specific exercise, like for a specific points of planche. Like you want to get your hollow body, I train like 1 week hollow body on planche, and 1 time a week of only push up on planche, 1 time a week of maximum of planche, and the same of front lever. And the next week, I try to train like basics of like calisthenics, dips, regular dips, so my body doesn't get used to a specific stress. Mm-hmm. So if you get your body like used to a specific stress, like only maximum planche of only calisthenics training, it's going to get like stuck in some point. So like, I recommend to people like combine like different disciplines. Like, I don't know, weightlifting. I do weightlifting 1 week. I do different, like I told you, the trends in the different weeks of the month. But I do weights 1 week, calisthenics 1 week, and I don't know, planche or front lever, aesthetics week. And then I do like a stretching and mobility week. That helps me a lot.
Wow.
So that's what you get your body like used to different types of stress, like hypertrophy, I don't know, basics or regular calisthenics bodyweight training or aesthetics tension training that are like fully other level. So mm-hmm. I think that's the better way to progress.
Wow, that's a good one, because I don't see this often in calisthenics, but like from fitness and bodybuilding, etc., you always try to get new stimuli.
Yeah, different stimulates of exercise.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Yeah, hypertrophy, it stimulates different parts of the body and different parts of like, or different hormones, literally. And calisthenics works on different parts like of the body, different fibers, different types or contractions. It's a lot of different things that helps you a lot if you are like intelligent to work with. Like now, if you know gymnastics, they train calisthenics, gymnastics trainings, like rings, gym, all of stuff, and weightlifting. They do weightlifting because doing like only weightlifting of one muscle helps you a lot to get any stronger.
Yeah. That's nice to see. Like, and I can imagine that right now you call it aesthetics, like you train a lot of statics.
Yeah.
But like if COVID-19 wouldn't be there, like how do you combine statics and dynamics workout?
How I told you, if I train also 1 week if I train 1 week aesthetics, I mean like Monday, how I told you, posture day, I don't know. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I train push day, and Friday, I train max of planche. It's an example. And I don't know, Thursday, I train freestyle. So only freestyle combos, for I'm going to do in my competitions, different moves of dynamics, like different tricks and new moves. So my body also doesn't get too loaded, because if I train, I don't know, planche one day and then freestyle and front lever that day, I'm going to get so sore to the next day. I'm going to do, I don't know, studies of or planche. And also I don't try to do like a lot of freestyle combos and try to end it with a lot of full planche, because I just train like full planche. So I don't have to do full planche trainings and all that stuff. But when I change my week of trainings, like now I'm going to do hypertrophy or weightlifting or only basics, now I do my regular freestyle combos with statics combos and all the stuff.
Okay, get it. Like what are your sources? How do you get better? Do you train with also really high level athletes, or do you write a lot with other professional athletes? YouTube, where do you get your knowledge from?
Fortunately, I live with my two coaches. They have like 24 years of experience in sport healthiness, life healthiness. They are actually life coaches, health coaches, specialists on sports nutrition. I don't know, a lot of stuff. They are like, they are so smart. So that's the way I get my knowledge from them. I learn a lot of them. Like, they give me a lot of books. They gave me like a lot of tips, a lot of like articles that's going to help me, like for my I don't know, my ¿cómo se dice? Rendimiento,
right?
Performance.
For my performance.
Oh, okay.
That helps me a lot, not only like for training. They help me a lot of tips, like try to eat this at the time of your training. So I mean, it's not like only do these types of exercise that's going to help you, I don't know, for you getting stronger. No, it's like eat this food or this meal on this time before you're going to train. And that gets me like a whole lot of power on my training. It changed my energy on my training. It gave me like a lot of stamina and performance. Mm-hmm. So that's like where I get my knowledge from professionals that have more than 24 years on the healthiness or care programs.
Okay, like from which sport do they come? Like, are they weightlifter coaches or?
Yeah, they are like weightlifter coaches. Mm-hmm. Like long time ago, they were like coaches, but now they are more like professionalist of healthiness of. To get your life to a better healthy lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Because it's not like only weightlifting, because they were training also of weightlifters that didn't do like the healthiest life. Even they have them like coaches, so they like say that like, "Ah, fuck them. We are going only to be like professionalists for athletes, mm-hmm. for professional athletes," and also they are certificate. And they have careers on the American Colson and Exercise that is one of the best, if isn't the best, school of like exercise and healthiness in the USA.
Wow.
It's in San Diego, so cool.
Nice. Lucky you.
I'm very, yeah.
But it's really, it's interesting because there are the one calisthenics athletes who don't warm up, who eat junk food, who have like a unhealthy lifestyle, who are...
They are good, but imagine if they were eating good, if they were on a specific program training, in a smart program of meals, I don't know, in a smart preparation in general. So that's a thing, that's what I think in calisthenics is like, not too much like it.
Missing
in calisthenics, like okay. that tips of professionalist that helps like the athletes to get to another level, like professional meals or professional nutritionist, like I have.
Oh. Get it. So like what fascinates me, I didn't know about that you're only in calisthenics for 4 years. So like it has to show that the scientific approach, the experience of your coaches is really benefiting you and giving you a a shortening to success.
Yeah, and I don't mean to like to get angry with people, but a lot of people tell me like, "Oh, you have culture show. Oh, you're on steroids, bro." I'm not even that big to be like on steroids, bro. You know what the fuck are you saying? But it gets me like angry that people, even that you're on a professional preparation with coaches and everything, with professional meals, they think you're doing like, I don't know, like crap, like getting steroids to get like stronger or bigger or better. It's like, you just have to be smart, to eat smart, to prepare smart, to train smart, to be better. You don't have to do a lot. That's what my coaches told me the first time. You wanna perform like a fucking god? Eat well, sleep well, and train well. That's all. If you don't train well, okay, you're not gonna get to your highest point. But if you eat well, you're always going to get to a certainly highest point. Mm-hmm. But if you don't eat well, you're going to get to a point you are not going to progress anymore. And I have seen this in some old like partners from teams that I was in, and they have been in calisthenics for 9 years, and they can like get to another point because they eat junk food. They don't prepare well. They sleep at, I don't know, 3 a.m. of the morning, and they have to wake up at 7 a.m. of the morning because they have to go to a work they doesn't even like. So it's kind of sad that that some athletes doesn't take you too seriously to see how you can get to your highest point. And that's how I want to people like to know about calisthenics, that if you do it well with a good preparation, a professional preparation, you can literally get to your highest point in so much short time.
Yeah, interesting. Like, let's go into the battle last year that I guess everybody like is still fascinated by. And I remember like I was in Sweden at that time because Beast of the Bars, there was also the battle at the same time.
Yeah.
when you were in Dubai and you battled against Eric.
It
was like really... how do you like describe from your perspective? How was it like to battle this legend? Like he's really like so long in the game and like he's so experienced, and then still you took his title and you won it, like crazy. Like how did it happen?
Honestly, it has been the best competition I have ever been. Not only because of the what happened like. Of the championship and all that stuff, but because I was like training with my idols, not only like Eric, I was training with a lot of people that I like, that I appreciate, like my friends from also USA, like Nick Mix, Flamas Kurganov, I don't know, I was training with Roger, with Eric, with Juan Andres, bro. That was those trainings was sick, bro. Yeah. And if I doesn't won the championship, I would have enjoyed it because it was a crazy trip, bro. It was like when I started in calisthenics, literally I started watching Eric, Roger, Daniels, and all that guys. And one day I said, like, I just one day train with them. I just want to train with them one day. I said, and it came very like, real. But yeah, I think it was like the best trip I have ever been, and it's going to be, because like the moments you share with those athletes, you know that you're not going to repeat it every time, like honestly, because those trainings are like only happen one time. So that's some moments that I took from that traveling that I enjoyed too much, and also that Eric is so humble, and I meet my idol, because when I started in calisthenics, I knew it that was a Mexican like athlete that it's called Aldo Raigosa, that was like the best Mexican athlete at the moment. But I was like searching Latin athletes and all the stuff, and I found Eric. And my brother told me, like, you're like the same height of him. And like from there, I started to watch him, to wanted to be like him. But yeah, until certain point, how I told you, I got my own style. Like, fortunately, I think I have my own style. But when I met Eric, he was like, such a good person. We share a lot of moments, a lot of like conversations. He shared me like a lot of tips of lunch also. He was asking me like how you do 720. I don't know how to spin, and I told him like, bro, you know how to spin. You are like also aerodynamic, because if Eric wants, bro, he can do 900. I know it. He has the strength. He has the spin. I have seen his 720 because he sent me videos, and bro, he can do all the dynamics he wants. He just have to be decided. And I think that's one of the most things you have to do. You have to have in dynamics. I mean, if you doesn't let go the ball, like literally, I just say this, fuck it. And also a guy from Mexico, I don't know if you know him, Cuate. He invented the Super 540. The Giant 540.
Okay.
In a sandbar.
Wow.
He was on a beach or on Mazatlan, that is like a state country, a state from the north, from Mexico. that he's like in the beach and all the stuff, but he just invented the Super 540 on a beach bar.
Crazy.
So I think that's the secret for all dynamics. Let go of the bar.
Okay. So you went to Dubai. You battled against your idol, like the guy you looked up to for three years.
And it was the best battle I could ever have, because it was like I was enjoying it. I'm not saying that I was like enjoying like taking the belt or something, because I was enjoying competing with the best athlete in the world or my idol.
Yeah,
that was like, I'm just competing with my idol. Yeah. I accomplished my dream.
Crazy. And I think you deserve it, because yeah, like your performance was insane. I still remember like being in Sweden, and everybody, we were sitting there and eating burger with quite some athletes, and I think it was Daniels who came to the table and said like he threw a 720, like I don't know like what he said, like no, it was a 530, but you did a crazy combination, and we were all like wow. Yeah, but yeah, What other mistakes do you see in professional athletes do to not reach their fullest potential?
I think that all is in the food and in the nutrition, because I mean they train well, bro. You cannot say they don't train well. I'm not saying this because I don't know how to say it. No, but I know some athletes, yeah. Professional athletes to a highest point, I mean, top athletes in the world that eat junk food, bro. Even eating junk food, they are so fucking strong. They are so fucking powerful because of them genetics. Imagine if they were eating properly, bro. They could take the world, honestly. Like, I mean, these Russian guys and these Bulgarian guys that sometimes I watch and ask them, bro, what do you eat? Nothing, bro, junk food. Bro, you should eat well and you're going to get fucking beast.
Okay, so how do you eat? What food do you eat? Are you a vegetarian, pescatarian, vegan?
No, but I don't eat red meat.
Okay.
Nothing at all. I mean, you can eat it, but I recommend it 2 times per month as much.
Mm-hmm.
So I eat a lot of chicken, a lot of fish, like sardines, turkey, eggs, a lot of fishes and birds. But I don't try not to eat like red meat, because it's so bad for the body, so bad.
Why is it bad?
Because it's like your body, it's so like slow digesting food that it takes like for 3 to 4 to 5 days to your body to get it out.
Wow.
Because it's so, if you grab like literally a fillet of red meat, You can taste or you can feel like it's strong. The meat is like hard to break or hard to even to chew. But the chicken, if you chew a chicken or a fish, instantly you destroy it with your mouth. Of even if you, this is what I call like the hand test. If you grab like a red meat fillet or and a fish fillet or I don't know something. Sardines or every fish you like, and squeeze them. The fish is going to break to go away or to be puré.
Yeah.
But the meat, it doesn't going to do nothing. You're only going to squeeze like this. Literally, you're going only to squeeze like the meat. You're not going to do anything with your hands, because it's the red meat so strong. It has too much protein of good sources, because it's good protein, but the cholesterol it has and the bad oils that has that the red meat, they are like literally for your body acids for your for your veins and for your arterias, that the red meat at long time periods, if you eat it in long time periods, it's going to fuck you up on the central point, and it's going to get back. But that's what I recommend to people, to stop eating red meat. And also good food sources like vegetables, like fruits, like a lot of protein, of how I told you, of good sources like chicken, fishes, birds, and everything trying to be the natural, and if you can say it, like organic way, it's the best way. Because like if your body gets used to eating red meat, to be eating cheese, to be eating, I don't know, a lot of impacted or protein bars, that doesn't help you a lot if you doesn't have literally a good nutritionist or a good diet. Because if you eat a lot of protein, you can literally a 500 box of protein bars, and you're not gonna get bigger, because the protein on a certain point, the body doesn't absorb it. It absorbs until certain like content, mm-hmm. like too much like 1 kg of protein your body takes. The rest, if you eat more than 1 kg of protein, it's an example, your body is going to get it to fat, to transform it to fat. So it doesn't help you a lot also to be eating protein all day. You have to be smart and eating like green vegetables, different vegetables like potatoes, sweet potatoes, tomatoes, spinach, and broccoli. Here in Mexico, we have something we call nopales, that it's the best thing we have because it's so rich in protein. And it's natural, it's a vegetable. It's literally cactus, mm-hmm. but chop it up without the spines. Yeah. And you eat it, and it's so like... I don't know how to say, it's like how you say, like flubber literally, if you cut it, it's yeah. it starts to flubber, like,
oh, okay,
but it's so delicious, and it's so rich in proteins, a lot of vitamin C and zinc, that stuff, it helps you a lot, like eating green vegetables and different types of vegetables or fruits, like of different types of glucose.
Mm-hmm. Okay, like I imagine you going to the market and taking a piece of meat of the of the person selling it and crushing it, but yeah.
Look at it, it's so bad for you, don't eat it.
Nice. So yeah, is the cactus sweet or is it
sweet?
Sweet. Okay. That's
it's so yummy, bro. So someday you have to come to Mexico and you have to try it. Yeah.
So it's cheating. You have a yummy cactus with rich of protein and it's sweet. So this is like cheating. This is even better than steroids.
yeah. And also like if you start to eat well, like I just started to eat well like one year and a half ago, like in 2018 ending. And that's the point when I was getting like better with a lot of level, but that's because I was eating a lot of good food. I was eating a lot of food, a lot of vegetables, a lot of good protein. Because before of that, I was just eating literally like pizza, like red meat. I was eating red meat, tacos of red meat. Because now I eat tacos also, but of pollo, of chicken.
Oil. Okay. And do you drink alcohol?
As too much, one time per month or two per month, but nah, I don't like it too much. Just some beer from Mexico, because some beers from here from Mexico are so yummy.
Nice. Okay.
But that's what I say like about calisthenics athletes. If you just get like used to 1 month of eating well, or 2 months or 3 months, try it. And your body is going to get too much used to it, that it's going to be an habit. Mm-hmm. Literally. Now I eat good and I eat healthy and I enjoy it. I say like, oh, nopales, or oh, now I'm going to eat potato with a lot of vegetables and broccoli. Literally, and now I enjoy it, because now even that you make like an habit, you make a lifestyle, literally. Yeah. And that's what you have to do, like, to get to your highest point.
Yeah, I can only confirm that, because like a lot of junk food is having heavy herbs, like also like some chemicals who make you addicted to it.
Yeah, a lot of chemicals are addicted. The sugar is the worst drug in the month, in the world, because it's so addictive. It's the most addictive drug in the world. And the people doesn't want to see the sugar as a drug, but it's a drug.
That's true. And the first times when you eat like only vegetables, not from from a can or something, or from buying it, it's weird, because there is not enough salts, there are not a lot of herbs. But you can do this. You can add this naturally, like with natural.
Yeah, you can also add like salt. I mean, I prefer to people eat those foods, like, I don't know. That's what I eat yesterday. Literally, one breast of chicken, with a cup of or a bowl of broccoli, one chopped potato, with one chopped sweet potato, and we have something here we call lentejas. That it's lentils. You have lentils yet? Yeah. Oh, yeah, we have it here too, and chopped nopal with tortillas de maíz. Tortillas de maíz are like high in carbohydrates, but good carbohydrates.
Okay.
Like it's corn, like tortilla corn is a natural source, so it's good. Imagine eating that, was so good. And I put some salsa verde, or I don't know, limon or lemon or salt, and that's like better than be eating like I don't know what, a pizza with a diet coke. That's a hypocrisy. Literally,
I get hungry now, so yeah. So you cook yourself?
Yeah.
Nice, that's good. And what is your job, like, what do you work as?
As personal trainer, also, and fitness coach.
Okay, but only physical in
no, in calisthenics, in fitness, and like functional. I have certifications of WCO in calisthenics, and another two federations of weightlifting and functional training. So yeah,
no, but I mean like only physical in Mexico, or also online coaching.
No, online coaching. I do a lot of online coaching. I think it's the most I get clients from.
Yeah. Okay. So when people want to learn from you, they can contact you via Instagram. And you
can... I also give like English programs now. So people are interested. They can ask for them. And all the programs that I made and the meal programs that I made are like backup from my coaches, so they also like doesn't put they like sign on, but they help me to do it, you know. So I mean they have helped me to not take away this food, don't put too much vegetable on this food, don't put yogurt and I don't know a fruit on one meal because it's too much glucose. I don't know, that kind of stuff, and helped me a lot.
Wow, that's great. So like we will put your Instagram and all your email address in the comments, so when people are interested that they can contact you for the coaching, because for me it seems that you're really like, I know that you're only 4 years in the sport, but it seems that you really profit from the experience of your coaches. You also gathered some experience yourself, and your performances really speak for themselves. So I can only say that you convinced me.
Let's do one thing. I'm going to give you a program, because I'm not going to, I don't know if you see my stories, but I'm not going to be in my social media for from 1 to 3 months. Wow. Because of a reality show. But let's do one thing. I'm going to give you a clinic program, a training program, and a meal program if you want me to. And if you can try it from 1 to 3 months, I'm not going to be in. And when I came back, I want to see your progress.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah, you're in?
Sounds good.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go.
Awesome.
Let's go.
So, is it a show that you can talk about or that you want to talk about?
I mean, the most important tip I want to give to the new athletes in calisthenics is to I don't want to call you dumb, but doesn't be dumb to the time to prepare yourself. And to, if you want to become an athlete, this is the only thing I'm going to tell you. You have to prepare like a professional, because in this sport, there are people that literally doesn't have too much talent, but I have seen that there are some people in this sport that even they doesn't have talent, they have like passion, they have the courage, they have the hungry, and they have now the preparation. So I have seen like people that doesn't have the talent that came to me or asked for me like, bro, I have been in calisthenics for 5 years and I can't do an straddle planche. And I told them like, bro, maybe your training is not that good or something. But no, they doesn't give up. They start to search for professional help. Like, bro, give me like, what can I eat to be like, to get my performance better, to get my strength better, to get my, my stamina better, because I feel like I'm getting weaker or something. So those people that I see that are hungry, they have passion, they have the courage to get to another level, I help them, honestly, because I saw them like, bro, I wanna progress no matter what. Tell me, what did you do or what did you eat to get to that level? But I saw some people also that came like, bro, how do I do 720 or planks? Give me a routine. What is your training? I don't train and I don't eat well. I eat junk food. No, bro. Yeah. I'm not trying to be like bad or like arrogant, but those people doesn't take you seriously. And I have seen in my 4 years of training, I have seen it too much time.
I can imagine, like, you feel if somebody is really willing to put in the work and like passionate and hungry for.
Yeah, when you see the passion of someone that really wants to get to another level or push their limits, you just like. I mean, like me, honestly, I just gave them my 100% of help. Like, bro, if you want a meal program, just tell me what do you eat now.
Oh, bro, yeah, I have 6 meals a day, but these are my meals. And I told them like, bro, you're eating protein at night, at morning, so that doesn't going to help you, because the protein gave you more like, I mean, it's going to give you strength and recovery, but you just sleep like 8 hours of, you just have 8 hours of sleep and rest. So you don't have to be like eating protein in the morning to get recover from nothing. You don't have the stress from.
Okay.
I mean, you should eat like more fruit in the morning, more yogurt, more yogurts. I don't know, more like oats and more like a lot of glucose meals that it's going to help you to have energy, to have stamina, to have strength in your training, because the protein till certain point, if you eat too much in the morning, it's going to get you slow and tired. But if you eat a lot of, I don't know, fast digesting glucose meals like fruit, like yogurts, like I don't know, milks or I do a like a meal shake. I don't know how do you call it, but it's not a milkshake. It's like do you know what is licuado? That is like when you put a lot of things on a glass of milk and you chop it off.
I think I know what you mean. Like, it's not milk, but it's like even thinner than milk. But
yeah. I don't know how do you call it in English? I just eat like low fat milk, mm-hmm. if you want to call it that way.
Yeah,
and put a lot of stuff in, like red fruit products, like a lot of strawberries and a lot of blueberries. Also, we call it here red fruits. Mm-hmm. Like we have a little, they sell like a little bag of fruits that are like all red, like cherries, strawberries, mm-hmm. like berries, I don't know, blackberries and all the stuff. And I put it on the glass. Also, I put like a banana and a lot of stuff like oaks and fruits. So that, then I drink that. And that gives me a lot of glucose and a lot of sugar that going to help me to have a lot of strength, a lot of energy on my training.
So you eat this before training?
Yeah, doesn't eat this every day. You want to train, I don't know, in the morning, but eat fast digesting meals that have like a high index of glucose, like try to eat fruit, a lot of nuts, like peanuts. Peanut butter helps you a lot if you want to have for breakfast a sandwich of peanut butter before training. That's better than eating protein because it gets your glucose and your energy too high. So mm-hmm. It gets like if your energy when you eat like a lot of products with glucose, it goes like this. If you eat eating like protein, it's going like this because the protein also has glucose, but it doesn't like gives you energy. It gives more like recovery and for the muscles.
Okay. Wow, that's interesting, crazy. So like for everybody who's interested more in depth into this topic, I think they can write to you and maybe you can make them a program or something. Let's talk about the hardest move that you've ever learned. Like, what was the hardest move that Tony Garcia learned until now?
Now, I think 900, because it's like crazy. But the one that I loved the most was Super 540, Giant 540.
Like the combination of the both? Or
yes, like from Giant, you know, Super 540 or... Giant 540. Mm-hmm. I like that, but I like most because it's like craziest than 900. I mean, you have to let go of the bar on the highest point of the Giant. So you can literally, if you don't catch the bar, you can die. So I think it's also if you search my video, I have like a progress video from 2016-2020 that I did one Super 540 on a street bar and I didn't land it and I didn't grab the bar, so I landed on my head like this, boom, on the floor, imagine.
Well, okay, so yeah, crazy. What is your advice to learn this move, like when I think like when you say you can die when you train this move, then the
you should try it in gymnastics bar first on a foam pit.
Yeah. Okay. Any other advice? Mindset wise, maybe.
I'll also try to, if you wanna try Giant 540, you have to already have like muscle of 540. Mm-hmm. Because it's like the fear. If you have fear of doing that muscle of 540 that is pushing the bar, imagine let go in the bar on a Giant.
Yeah, true. Okay, nice. We're coming to an end. I still have some quick questions for you. I feel a little bit bad for the first question because which we talked about so many like good nutrition, etc. What do you prefer, pizza or burger?
Honestly, I think pizza because of the red meat. I mean, pizza is a lot of cheese and a lot of bread, and also it has, I mean, pepperoni, but it's so high in fat and calories, but it's like cheese that you're going to get rid of in 1 or 2 days. But the red meat of the burger, you're going to get rid of it on 3 days or 4 days to most. But I also, one tip is very important to listen to this tip. Don't eat protein, neither red meat, white meat, and like high calories or fat calories like pizza, burgers, and all this kind of food before training. Don't eat it before training because you're going to get, we call it here in Mexico, a retrograde or slower, that is like getting heavier because your body or your blood, every drop of blood is going to your digestive system to get rid of the red meat, because it's so hard to get rid of them that your digestive system has to get all the blood of your body to your digestive system to get rid of the meat. Imagine. Mm-hmm. So that's why you feel like heavier when you eat pizza and train after.
Okay. Get it. It's so crazy how ripped you are. Like it's insane. Like you're sitting there and you see the muscle fibers as crazy.
I'm kind of ripped.
Yeah. Okay, so next question. Do you prefer dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Dogs. Okay.
I have two actually.
Oh, nice. Do you have a favorite location for holidays?
I mean, like especially a holiday, like my favorite holiday, or like a location for going to a holiday.
I don't get the difference, but let's say the second.
I don't like to travel too much in holidays, but I think I would like too much like spending Christmas on a city like New York or Germany. I would like to spend like a Christmas holidays right there because of the snow and the vegetation. I like too much.
Have you ever seen snow?
Yeah.
Okay. But not on Christmas. Or like
not in
like here in Germany we have like in winter we have like maybe in the city more like 10 to 15 centimeters of snow, but in the landscape like it's often like it's 30 to 40 centimeters of snow, so it's like quite a lot. And it's I can imagine that it's a different feeling. Like last winter we had Dan Rosenberg here to visit us in Christmas holidays. And he was also really like, he was really fascinated by the snow. For us, it's normal, but for you, maybe it isn't.
Yeah, no, it's not too much normal because, I mean, Happy New Year and Christmas, since I was a kid, I spent it most of the time on a beach. On Acapulco, Cancun, more like party.
Yeah. And for us, that's unimaginable. And for me, one day I want to, like, for me, really a goal is to spend holidays, winter and Christmas in a hot place, like something like Dubai, like Mexico.
Cancun is the best place to spend Christmas. Okay. The ambientation of the state is crazy when it's Christmas.
Wow. Okay. So new goal on my bucket list. Perfect. What would you do if social media just disappeared? What would change for you?
I mean, it would change, I think, only the fact that I will not post anymore like my stuff, but I will keep training. I will keep doing my stuff, I think.
Okay.
The same thing, but just without social media.
Okay. Nice. Do you have a favorite calisthenics athlete?
Eric.
Yeah.
I mean, the most complete, because I have a lot of favorite calisthenics athletes, and like in aesthetics, in overall, I think the overall, my favorite is Eric, then I think Thomas Kurganov, and then Roger.
Oh, okay.
In dynamics, I think Kyle Corbin, and Cuate Mosolop, and Mauri Dynamics.
Okay.
Because I know Cubillos throws a lot of crazy movements, but I think, I don't think, I like more like the cleanest tricks to be done. Like, I don't know, Quate does their 540s, bro, they're so fucking clean. You need to watch them. And yeah, also Mauri Dynamics flows like water, literally. And Kyle Corey too, like, his 720 is like nothing.
Crazy. Yeah, I'll check them out. Maybe you can send me their Instagrams so I can put them in the description for the people who want to watch them afterwards. I will send you a message after the interview. Perfect. Do you have a favorite book?
But it's in Spanish.
Okay.
that it's called Sell It to the Mind, not to the... it's like... a rhyme thing in Spanish that it's véndele a la gente, no a la mente. That it's sell it to the mind, not to the people.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, like, sell it to the brain of the people, not to the people.
Oh.
You know. So the book is about like a lot of things that people doesn't do in their works or in their communities because. I mean, the book helps you specifically to work on, like, I mean, in team, in work specifically with your clients, not to only have clients. I mean, to have clients, it gave them, like, an important purpose to be your clients, you know? Mm-hmm. That it doesn't, that it's not only like, I'm your client. That it's like, oh, I'm training with Tony Gast and I'm part of the Tony Gast's team and of clients or of, I don't know, alums and apprentices.
Okay, get it. Sounds interesting. Maybe there are some Spanish speaking people, they can look it up. I think the main takeaway is clear. What was the best calisthenics event you've ever been at?
I think it was Dubai and then it was San Diego.
Okay, nice. Yes, and then if you would have to decide, what would you choose, statics or dynamics?
Dynamics 100% because I like to flow.
Okay, nice. So yeah, we're coming to an end. We will put like your Instagram and your email address in the description for everybody who wants to contact you. How can people like? How can they ask you best? Like, is it Instagram or?
I think Instagram is the best way. And also, I give you if you want to my email, and you can put it down there if the people wants to also.
Perfect. Nice. You also have a YouTube channel where people can check? Or?
It's called literally like my Instagram. It's okay. Just Tony Gastelu. I pass you also the link.
Perfect. Thank you. So, yeah, we're coming to an end of this episode. It's already like, I don't know how long we are talking, but around 1 hour, I guess. Before you can end the episode, Tony, and say goodbye to everyone, I want to say thank you to everybody listening to till the end, because it's like, a long episode. And I think we had some interesting things. I also wrote down some stuff when I will now go to the shop and buy some good food, because you motivated me to eat clean.
Bro, it's the best thing you can do.
Yeah, it's crazy. And
and it's going to change you not only in the physical way, even in the mood way, in the... being activated in the day and being like productive, being motivated, that the food helps you a lot with those things.
Okay, maybe I think I will send this interview to San Johan to show him that he can eat clean. Maybe he will be even crazier in calisthenics. So yeah, thanks a lot, Tony, for your time. Thanks to everyone listening till the end. So if you want to let this series continue, comment down below who should be interviewed next. Rate this episode and also check out Tony's social media channels and give him some support. And Tony, thanks a lot for your time. Thanks a lot for your knowledge, for your sharing your story. Yeah, I'm out, and you can say goodbye to everyone and see you.
Thank you, bro. Thank you for having me here in the interview. Also, thank you, Coordination, for this episode of interviews. And yeah, honestly, I like to share with people the knowledge I have like accomplished from my coaches, because they are people that are from admire, that are people that too much with too much preparation, with too much knowledge, that really helps me a lot to me to get it in better every day. So I think we should, every athlete should like look for it and for his discipline. Like, that's what I want to do. Like, people in calisthenics start to getting healthier, eating good, and all that stuff. And thank you, bro, for having me here.